My name is Justin.
And I am Arnie.
And we're one half of the band The Vaccines.
And you killed the other two.
We killed the other two at some point over the last couple of days.
You know what happens at soundcheck? The drummer always combusts anyway because that's spinal tap.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just the way it is.
The guitarist got into bed 3 days ago, and at some point in that
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. You blew it. Number one, you blew the band right there because you didn't meet at art school. You didn't all go to school together. You know, you really blew it.
We're mercenaries.
Yeah. You went from 2010 of a tiny free show to the Brixton Academy to the wild wonderfulness that's happening here. And that's a pretty fast rise when you think about it.
It is a fast rise. I think, like, going back even further, I think it hasn't been a fast rise for us as individuals, like all of us. I mean, Arnie, you're 28. Like, you know, I'm 25. I've been touring for 10 years with no success. Arnie probably for a, you know, similar amount of time, playing 3-4 shows every night in London and driving ourselves up and down the country just to play to 3-4 people. And so a lot of the, I guess, experiences that bands and artists grow from, we kind of learned from and grew from before the band started. So I think we felt like we were in a pretty good place, weren't we, when we started, like, yeah, in terms of having already got bad songs out of our system
you sure of that?
Well, you're never completely. I felt kind of, it was kind of an arrogant thing to say because I didn't really mean it like that. But I just think we learned a lot before we started the band. And then again, we shut ourselves away for a year before anyone heard us just because I think we felt that often we'd exposed ourselves a bit too much before in other projects. So we wanted to get a bunch of songs we were really happy with before anyone heard them.
Then
go out and play. And we didn't expect what happened to happen. Like, we're firm believers in building your house on rocks, and unfortunately we weren't totally able to do that, but I feel like we're kind of going back now and trying to consolidate the...
Between those two points, you know, like, what happens is that, like, but both before that first gig that you're referring to, we'd been on the road for a few weeks, just like, and like between those two points, we recorded an album, we released it, we toured every, like, we literally didn't take a week off, so like it was just constant work.
But what's really interesting is platinum album, but that's a platinum album in the UK. Right? And we sit here, and of course the hype always overshadows everything. So my favorite question to ask a band like this that has a platinum album, that has the bus, that has the tour, is you're here. And it's a different world, is it not?
Yeah, it's a completely different world. I mean, it's not the world we come from. And I think that we're well aware of the fact that this is our first headline show in San Francisco, and there's 1,200 people here, and that's better than our first show in London. That's better than our first show in Manchester. That's better than our first show in Glasgow. And they're not here because of hype. They're here because we've released two records that over the last 2.5 years they've kind of fallen in love with enough to kind of come and buy a ticket and sing back all the words to us. And that's something quantifiable, you know, like hype on, you know, surrounding The Vaccines died about 3 months after it started. And it became quantifiable in the UK, and we became platinum because we were helped by being a priority artist on a major label and being on the radio and being in all the magazines. And we haven't benefited from that here in America, but there are still kids coming to the shows, and you can't really ask for much more than that.
It's also like when we started, like it was a lot of attention on us, like, very quickly, and we just weren't really comfortable with it to start with. And I think we've sort of grown into, we're a lot more comfortable and more.
It's funny, and no one,
but it's a definition.
The interview is bad.
But you see, it gets out there among the hype, and the, you know. And I'm going to do this in my best announcer voice. The dreaded sophomore album.
It's like what we do is like the purest form of rock and roll. And like I think the best, like most pure form of rock and roll music is that kind of ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong, like 50s, 60s kind
Hansels,
of rock and roll pop
it.
Music that, you know, when people were doing stuff for the first time, you know, all the girl groups and the kind of rockabilly stuff, like obviously music is progressing like in lots of good ways, but I guess you're essentially diluting what they did.
Oh my gosh. Well, you have a great quote, and I love this, that you prefer beers in the air versus arms folded.
I just wonder why you'd want to come see us if you didn't want to dance. I think you kind of know what you're letting yourself in for. That, it's funny because there's a time when I just hated like rowdy audiences, and now the rowdier the better.
Isn't there always at least the one band on the BBC shortlist that is you, and that in the end breaks through because you're breaking through because you aren't exactly with the perfect times of the moment?
Well, I think maybe if, you know...
Whatever the times of the moment
are. I always think back to the other bands on that list. I mean, it's not exactly, you know, the Keys to the City, is it? And it's funny because never, you know, we shut ourselves away for a year and worked on our music, but never in that year did we have a conversation about... I mean, we did once we started playing shows, and once we started, people started picking up on it, but never in that year when we were working on our music did we ever worry about what we looked like or plan to create a brand or anything. We just wanted to be in a band. And it's funny because you look at some of those bands and artists that look great on that list. I don't know where the fuck they are now.
Hello?
I mean, there's definitely room for pantomime and pop music and rock and roll, and you know, that kind of... I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, but if the music doesn't stand up, then
yeah.
You look beautiful and you've all got the perfect suits, it doesn't really do you any good.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's really kind of fun for me is people are spending so much time on teenage icons. And I heard a quote from you that you said, you know what, we're not going to be making our Beth by Kiss over and over again. So talk to me about that. Yeah, you did. You did in an interview. And I love that because... You know, everybody's like, oh, great, they're doing a song about being rock and roll stars. Oh, my gosh. But it's a proud tradition that you include that in an album, is it not?
Yeah, I was really keen to avoid it. And then I didn't want to make a record about being in a band. I didn't want to make a record about making records. But I accidentally did it. Yeah, yeah. It was an accident. But it's a happy accident. It's a fun song. I think it's interesting to me on a personal level more than a kind of... band level.
Okay, just to clear up the three chord and all of this, you're not prolific enough. Were there, what, 160 songs or something to get to the tracks on the album? How the heck do you go through that? And what the heck is the... So that's number one, is, oh my gosh, I guess they've got a few songs in them, right? So is that really the number? Was it some ridiculous number?
It was something outrageous.
Something outrageous, right?
It was a collection of like four songs or little ideas or like they weren't all like 3 minute long constructed songs,
right?
But it was something outrageous.
Someone just said "shoop shoop" and that was a song.
No.
What's the filtering process?
It's really simple, actually. It was just like, if it excites us, then we'll pick it up. If it doesn't,
we
don't.
Gave each other our ideas and
we're just like,
listen,
just first listen. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think it's.
If on first listen, if the other band members thought it was a song they wanted to be a part of or would listen to themselves and were really excited about them, we pursued it. You just got to trust your own taste.
So if I read one more review of the new album that says, well, you know, I'm again doing a different voice. I'm doing the Pitchfork reviewer voice now. Well, it seems they've just used a little less reverb and that has taken them blah, blah, blah. So all kidding aside, you're making the next record. Did you actually turn to each other and diametrically say, we're going to do some different things? Or did you say, this is just the continuation of and the progression of the next thing we just feel like doing?
Well, I think the record wasn't like a massive departure. It was just a progression. It was like the next step on
a ladder.
But people
spend so much time worrying about where, you know, where the reverb level is. That's not the point, right?
Yeah, well, I suppose the songs are... For me, the song's the point. And all we've ever done is kind of tried to like provide a backbone for like the kind of best songs we're capable of writing. And to be honest, the reason why we backed off on the reverb is because I think that we wanted like a bit more personality. I think that the first record, like certainly sonically, is pretty like one-dimensional, and I think we just, you know, it's another reason for working with Ethan Johns. We wanted to work with someone who kind of, I don't know, well, all his records have personality, and I think we just wanted people to maybe understand us and get to know us a bit better. And I felt like we were hiding a bit on the first record, and I feel like there's more intimacy and intricacies in this record.
It's a lot more exposed and a lot more, but as you say, Ethan records character, and like,
yes.
Ethan, it wasn't a conscious decision, but like working with Ethan means that you're not going to use reverb. He's not going to hide anything in reverb. That's just not going to happen.
Never has, never will.
Never will.
Which is more important, great songs or being on the charts? I already know the answer, but you've been quoted a lot.
Well, if you have
about
great songs,
charts,
there's no reason why you can't be in the charts.
Yeah, but isn't that interesting? Because so many people, the first thing they try to do is hit the charts, and then they go, oh, wait a minute.
Our aim really is to like kind of create art and entertainment in equal measure, and I want to write the best songs we possibly can, but appeal to people that listen to Carly Rae Jepsen and you know, all like top 40 music.